This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 421, recorded June 10th, 2015.
You know what next week is?
What is next week?
No, do you know what next week is?
The middle of May?
Middle of June.
Oh.
So the answer okay, is no, so we, Chris,
we
do not.
Yeah, we can solidly peg that Diecast does not know what next week is. Very good. I'm glad we established this.
What is next week?
Wednesday.
The whole week?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Nice.
It's a Groundhog Day thing.
I don't know. So next week is BotCon.
The part of Don will be played by Bill Murray.
Yes!
And if you're watching the video, everyone you see will be there. If you're listening to the podcast, Rob Clay, who is with me, will not. He is joined by Diecast, XV, or Chris, Don,
no Massey.
Matt, or no Massey. Where's Massey?
He is being sulky because I'm not opening up the window and let the 80-plus degree heat in. Oh.
And I am Brian Kilby, so let's see here. So, yeah, that's us. But, yeah, we'll be at BotCon next week. So our schedules currently align, I think, to where we'll be able to do a live stream from St. Charles. Don is just chugging that Pepsi Max.
Hey,
makes me proud.
Why waste a glass? It works like that.
Stuff is so good. I love that stuff. I actually am chugging a Diet Dr. Pepper, and I will shortly be drinking this delicious herbal cherry-flavored Dr. Enough. Don, are you a fan of Dr. Enough?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it locally.
Oh, that sounds like what a lady would say.
What?
Here we go.
At the doctor's office.
Okay. We'll be there, and we're looking forward to it. So make sure if you are not already following us on Twitter at TF Radio or on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, you should be doing that. So since we have so many people there, do we want to have somebody who's manning Instagram? I think I posted one picture there ever, and I think we have like 20 followers, but I'd kind of like to get that number up.
Is that still a thing?
No, Instagram is bigger than Twitter, Don.
Oh, okay.
Instagram is like the number two social network in the U.S. So
really,
after MySpace,
after Facebook, and they're both owned by Facebook.
Well, see, I figured the reason I was so popular is people could hear what I was saying and not have to see me. So I thought that was part of it. So you know, the best of both worlds.
No, I think it's the cat, Don.
It's the cat.
Yeah, there's too many social networks.
Oh God, yes, and it's hard to keep track.
We're disnetworked. There's so many networks.
Yeah, this is true. Okay, so So I guess let's go ahead and jump to that awkward part of the show where we talk about what's going on in the other shows in the network.
You know, Diecast gave us the perfect segue into this, too, talking about, you know, how there's too many networks. And we're contributing to that problem with our network of shows.
Yes.
I don't know why you can't do these things, Kilby. Why do I have to do everything
here? Are the good these are the good networks.
Yes, what Don said.
Stuff, you know.
There's still too many. I didn't say ours, you know, was good or bad comparatively. There's just too many, and we're one of them.
I think Don had to burp, so he had to, like, move his stuff. It was kind of funny.
See, people who, like, listen to the podcast after the fact, this is the stuff you miss not being here for the live stream on Wednesday night.
So I have to narrate so that you actually
Or watching the YouTube video, even.
Yes.
Well, with all these networks, you make it sound like we're, like, living in the world of Max Headroom.
Oh, God. Okay, so on the RFC minicast this week, John and I discuss your collection. What's it worth anyway?
Not much.
And
I didn't even listen to the show, and I know that.
Yeah. So being awesome. Okay, so this is the part where Rob wants me to talk about next week's episode. I think I'm going to start talking about last week's episode, so it lines up with every other show that we talk about. But the upcoming episode is about gimmicks on gimmicks. I don't know what that means. We'll find out.
I don't know what most of his summaries mean, to be fair.
But the show makes sense.
Okay.
The the show makes sense, even if the his teaser description
it's entertaining. I won't go so far as to say it makes sense.
it's the same as when he was doing the Q&A segment separately. Like, he certainly didn't answer questions in that he, responded to things people asked. It didn't necessarily have anything to do with the questions.
Yeah, so that's coming. Also, there goes my money, which has John and me with Diecast. What kind of stuff is on there, Diecast? I've completely forgotten.
Lots of official stuff. We talked about Trypticon, the new Takara deluxes that are coming out. The three, what is that?
The Masquerade Autobots, pretty much, just call them that.
No, the female characters.
Yeah, Slipstream,
Nightbird, and Black Arachnia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you meant the Autobot cars.
And, yeah, lots of official stuff.
Lots of official stuff.
and those very, very pretty Make Toys reflector.
I pre-ordered. Those. Hey,
they look nice. Yeah, they look nice. I can't justify the cost, but they look nice.
No.
I did because I really want it. So
no, we'll talk more about that in the third party section anyway.
Yes. But we stretched that out for 42 minutes. And this week on Fanboy versus Transformers, Windblade number 3.
Which is part 5 of Combiner Wars, which is almost the end, but not quite. Pity us.
Yeah, and superhero time. Tell us about the newest episode of that one episode of Star Trek.
Well, we did the episode called Defiant from Season 3, which is one of my personal favorites, but that's kind of unfair to say since almost all episodes of Deep Space Nine that aren't the first season are my personal favorites.
I know what you mean. I was trying to explain that to a friend a couple days ago at lunch, and she likes, I like Next Gen better. I'm like, I like 8 episodes of Next Gen.
And you know... I've watched Deep Space Nine over and over again. I've watched Next Generation over and over again. And, like, the thing – listen to that one episode of Star Trek, even if you're, like, really familiar with these episodes, because hearing Hey Mickey recount the events of the episodes gives, like, a totally new life to them. And it is super entertaining.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
We also debuted Superhero Time, the after show, which since it's not regular superhero time during the week anymore, I spun off the off-topic stuff I would usually put after the outro into its own podcast just for the people who don't want to listen to the Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, I like Star Trek, so I want to listen to that, and I don't necessarily want to listen to after show.
I've gotten compliments on both, so it works out.
And you still keep shooting down my idea.
Yep.
What was the idea?
It doesn't matter.
I've been wanting to take a look at the American versions of Tokusatsu, what we had as live action special effects, especially like stuff from Sid and Marty Krofft. But he doesn't think there's a parallel there.
I don't understand those words.
It's okay.
I mean, I don't. I've heard it. I know what Tokusatsu is, I think.
Yeah. Well, basically
just special effects.
Yeah. So basically, I think there are some Sid and Marty Krofft shows that could be considered American tokusatsu, and I wanted to look at those, but that's something that Chris doesn't really want to do it at this point.
So would that episode of A-Team where Hannibal wears the Godzilla suit, would that be tokusatsu?
Absolutely. We'll do a show about that.
That would be awesome.
That one episode of the A-Team?
Yes.
Yes!
Hey, you know what? That could be the title. That one episode, and then there's a colon, and then it's just various shows you take a look at.
Just popping in my head was that one episode of the 80s. And we just look at random episodes of shows from the 80s. You get Galactica in there, you get the A-Team, you get MacGyver.
Yep. Perfect Strangers.
Miami Vice. Yep.
Yes, yep. Perfect Strangers. Oh, gosh. That's a really good idea for a podcast.
Except I don't want to do any more podcasts. Somebody do this instead of me so I don't have to.
Matt, you host this one.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Never mind. This is a terrible idea. Okay. What are we talking about?
Hey, did anybody get anything cool over the weekend?
I did.
No, you didn't. What did you get?
Yes. I don't have it in hand, but I have a really nice story. I won a Carzap on eBay.
No, you didn't. Wait, I knew that.
Which I had to stalk. I had to stalk this because I missed one on Sunday. It was at like $25, $26 or something. Most of them were going right around $30. I was going to bid $36.01 at the very last, like 10 seconds left. And I was sure I was going to win it. So I did it and I didn't win. I got outbid. So I tried again on the next auction that was coming up to make sure I'm there, like, you know, a couple minutes before it ends. And I waited till like 30 seconds and I put in my bid. And surprisingly, no one else bid on it. So I won it for $25 plus shipping. Nice. And then this morning I got an email saying you got a refund for your eBay purchase. So I was like,
what?
It went too low and they just refunded my money.
What?
And they were going to say like they didn't have it. But what it turned out is the seller was charging like almost $12 for shipping. And I guess the seller found out that that was too much. And he refunded me like $4 and something, some change for shipping. So I actually got the figure for almost like close to
$30.
Nice. Well, that's a really good price.
I'll tell you what that probably is. Like the seller listed it at the high end to cover in case it had to be shipped very far away.
Yeah.
And then since it was not going quite so far, he refunded your difference back to you, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's coming from California. So, I mean, it is coming all the way across the U.S.
Oh, well, but then, I mean, that should I'm surprised that doesn't cost the $11.
Being on the East Coast, shipping to California sucks. So I know that being in California, shipping to the East Coast must suck. So
yeah, I've done the same thing with, you know, selling things myself from time to time where I just, you know, whatever I think the most is I will pay for shipping is what I will charge and then offer a refund if it's less than that. So
that's cool that they did that.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And like I said, I immediately thought like I got this item too cheap and they were just going to, you know, cancel it.
Yeah.
And that's not actually what happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's what I've done too. Like if it's a real heavy Marvel Legends figure, like an Iron Man figure, I put the shipping at like $9.95 and then I'll refund any difference because some of them older figures like older deluxe Transformers are just out through the roof to ship. Once you hit Texas, it's all downhill from there.
Well, that's generally true, Don.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean that as I mean that's from a distant standpoint.
That's awesome, Don.
We know, Don.
Anybody else get anything? What? Huh?
I'm like months and months and months behind, but I finally found Legends Bombshell at retail, and he's adorable. I love him.
Yeah, I like Kickback better, but you know.
I think you can trap us since Kickback does not as present exist.
Yes, I like Kickback, though.
For whatever reason, I actually like Bombshell better than Kickback, except for the fact that he does not have a Target Master partner. Thank you, Shrapnel. But, you know, it's just...
Hang on.
Thank you. But, you know, it's just... There's something... It's a really simple figure in almost exactly the same way that Legend Swerve was, and I think that's... I hate to say it, but I think that the nostalgias are kind of setting in for me here. Because the really simple ones where you just fold up the legs, I'm really starting to enjoy those. They're really nice.
You know,
especially when you get that, you know, old familiar pattern and it's very poseable now. That's really nice.
Speaking of old, you know what I was thinking of? I mean, obviously we don't have the Legends class Kickback, but I was thinking of the Robot Heroes from like 7 years ago. He's that little stance where he's like halfway running. I love Kickback. He's my favorite Insecticon, far and away.
I don't have it yet, Brian. I just placed the order last night with Hasbro Toy Shop, but I picked up Ultra Magnus, Hotspot from my friend Fred, and Marvel Universe Infinite Thunderstrike. One of my favorite comic book characters.
Actual Thunderstrike this time.
Yes, actual Eric Masterson Thunderstrike. So, okay.
You know, so, if we're counting that, then Rob can just talk about how he ordered Ultra Magnus finally, too.
Yes, I finally ordered Ultra Magnus, and I ordered it on tfradio.net/Amazon.
Yes!
Yeah.
And you will not be disappointed in it. Yeah.
Rob, you contributed to the Buy Don a New Laptop Battery Fund in the process, so good job.
Excellent.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you, Don.
I looked on Amazon first, but they didn't have it in stock. All the stuff I was looking for, plus I had a 15% off coupon code with free shipping. So, sorry, Brian.
Sorry. Oh, it's okay. Sorry, I was actually reading the chat. Sorry. So eBay conversation. I feel very passionately about eBay. I don't like eBay. See here.
I don't like to sell on eBay, but I do like to buy. Sometimes.
Point.
Yes. Yes.
Agreed. That's probably the reason that eBay kind of sucks.
Yeah, eBay is totally a buyer's market.
But you have to do one to do the other, so...
No. Right, but somebody has to do one. You keep selling on eBay, despite it being terrible to do so, so that we can buy stuff when we want to from eBay.
Yes.
And actually pay for said things that we buy.
My phone, actually, I got brand new on eBay for like $20 under what it is in the store.
Nice.
And see, this is why I miss Crave. This is why a lot of people I know.
Yeah, I agree. We need something like that again. At the same time, I can see why that had a hard time like getting a foothold in the market too, because it's so different.
Yeah,
but I still miss it.
Yeah. Okay. So this week in history, June 11th, 2003. You'll never believe this, guys. Hasbro announces plans for a full length live action Transformers movie.
No.
Holy
wow!
It's gonna be the greatest thing ever.
Did they envision a universe?
I'm certain if you ask them now, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they will totally George Lucas out and claim that was the idea from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it took 4 years, but we sure did get that Transformers movie. We sure did.
4 years almost to the day.
I know. Well, yes. All of them come out in June, so.
The first one came out in July, I believe.
Yeah.
It was July 4th, 2007.
So close to June that it doesn't matter.
But I'll be honest, for all of its flaws, the first movie really is not horrible.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible at all. It's not particularly good. Plus,
that's your opinion.
Well, plus, I will say...
Okay, so, like, Matt, you don't have the context since you refuse to watch the other ones. Wisely, mind you, wisely. But compared to the other ones, no, it's not that bad.
Well, for me, it's the one thing that encapsulates that movie.
Encapsulates.
I was getting there.
You got there.
It's a good movie.
It's a good scene. It's the scene everybody loves, where all the Autobots roll up, Bumblebee brings Sam, Michaela.
I don't love that scene.
And Prime Transformers for the first time.
I'll be honest with you, Don. I don't love the scene, but honestly, I thought you were going to be talking about the motorcycle or whatever. No, the scene where where Michaela is doing whatever in the car. One of the scenes where it like pans.
Looking at the engine.
Yes, one of those scenes where they focus on her way too much.
Well, I'll be honest. It's like I'll never have a girlfriend that hot, so I don't even look anymore. So why bother? So I didn't.
It's okay,
even
Don. That's not a good attitude to have, Don.
No, it's really not. It's not healthy.
No, not that I'm not. I was on the a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, the Transmissions podcast, and they do this thing where they ask you like these rapid fire questions. One of them was like. The name, like all the chicks in those movies, and I had to quote unquote choose, and I chose her because she's the one that's the least sort of disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah. I know I'm a big fat guy, but you know, like, just bag of hangers just kind of weirds me out.
No, like that's when you do a write-in. That's when you do a write-in and you say hacker chick from the first movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you know what?
That's a good point.
But you know what? With the fake bag of hangers was in Mad Max, and with the fake baby bump, worked out a little better. There you go. Okay, so moving on. awkward. So speaking of awkward, in 2009, this week, Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen. The movie that the writer strike could not kill came out.
Well, they didn't need writers for that movie, so
scripts are purely optional.
just film a bunch
of decorative.
You know, it's the way Sam and Michaela kept calling out to each other. Anime fans will get this. I was reminded of any given episode of Inuyasha. You know, where they're just calling out.
But why did this have its premiere in Tokyo anyway?
Everything kind of got smushed together as far as like the backgrounds go. They're all kind of blurry, so maybe something happened in Tokyo? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe they thought Devastator's balls would be more funny over there.
No diecast, probably not.
That was that movie.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I understand they're big in France, though.
I thought it was snails.
Snails, Falls, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, Revenge of the Fallen, which is the worst of the movies.
Yeah.
Times 10.
Yeah.
The worst times 10.
I don't know. I think I'd rather watch Revenge of the Fallen over the last one, Age of Extinction.
At least Revenge of the Fallen is shorter.
Yeah, but Age of Extinction has John Goodman as Hound.
Yeah, that's
one good point of the movie.
You could probably take Revenge of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon, and Age of Extinction, take like the one decent character and one decent scene from each of them, and staple that all together and make a respectable, you know, movie or at least a pilot for one.
But the good thing is,
we'd have to find the one good scene in Age of Extinction to do that with, though.
Okay, so the thing about Age of Extinction and Dark of the Moon that make them both better than Revenge of the Fallen is the action scenes in Revenge of the Fallen all are hard to follow and they're terrible.
Yeah, the first movie had that problem too. I thought Revenge of the Fallen improved on it slightly compared to the first movie.
First movie did that in a specific style, though, where you're seeing it from the point of view of the people on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Revenge of the Fallen was just badly directed.
There's so many generic robots and things. Yeah.
All the same color.
And scenes didn't make sense. Action scenes didn't make sense.
Well, I've said this in the past. I didn't see Prime get stabbed until after he got stabbed. Because I could not follow what was happening.
So what you're saying is you didn't see him get stabbed before he got stabbed.
Right. Or yes.
That makes sense.
Or as it was happening.
Yeah. I mean,
you're ruining this.
It's like one
fair.
Second he was Prime was fine, and then the next minute he has a sword in his chest, but I never saw the in-between action.
Yeah,
someone said, we don't need that frame.
It's confusing, and they made a point, and they did a great job in the subsequent movies making the action scenes, even if they are not make sense logically or like through physics or anything, they are crystal clear.
Physics
are
awesome.
You know, one thing that helped it a lot is they added some color.
Yes. Oh my God, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like now the action scenes that are just completely implausible, you can tell that they're completely implausible, but they look great.
You know, I was half expecting like now in Technicolor somewhere to appear of.
Yeah.
The news.
Yeah. Let's awkward. That was just a big, long, awkward conversation. Okay, so let's move to the news.
Well, no. The first half was a really awkward conversation. We did pretty well the second half after we got past your really awkward thing.
Like the awkward part about Bag of Hangers being pregnant?
Right.
So my favorite...
And that being more appealing to you than just vanilla Bag of Hangers.
So also it didn't hurt that she was in Mad Max, which was amazing, and everybody needs to see that again. If you didn't
already. I didn't see it for the first time.
Well, it would be novel to see her in a good movie, so...
God, it's a great movie. Great movie. Great, great movie. Okay, so let's go ahead and move to the news. Not a lot in the way of the news this week. I wonder why.
Yeah, how about it? It's like everybody's waiting for something.
I don't know. Maybe a convention next week.
Godot?
Yeah, so waiting for Godot. Nice, Don. So moving to the news. This delighted me mightily. Transformers Legends, LG-15, Nightbird, Shadow, LG-16 Slipstream, and LG-17 Black Widow, a.k.a. Black Arachnia, confirmed, and pre-orders are up. So,
and I pre-ordered all of them right away.
Mm-hmm. This is the first official Nightbird action figure, period, right?
Yes.
There was a vinyl model or something before, at some point, that was from Takara, I think.
Maybe?
But this is the first Nightbird action figure, and I'm buying it just for that.
Absolutely.
We had a conversation about Nightbird on There Goes My Money, and I don't think Diecast quite has context for why I want Nightbird so bad.
Yeah, I don't. I've watched that episode, you know, numerous times, but...
Because it's a ninja robot built for science, Diecast.
I always wanted one of those sports car toasters anyway.
No, Brian said something about it's Megatron's girlfriend or something.
Going back in the day, all the strange fan theories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of the fandom went that way.
Nightbird was a homewrecker, Diecast.
Yes.
And Starstream was jealous for other reasons.
And there's also a Slipstream, which looks to me more like Slipstream than the TF Collectors Club version. But
and that's my favorite of the three. You're crazy. So
what? She's your favorite?
Yes.
I said she looks better than the TFCC version. I didn't say she doesn't. Unless you think that the TFCC.
I listened to There Goes My Money. Sorry.
What did I say? What did I say?
Nobody was really crazy about Slipstream.
Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not.
I really like the Black Arachnia.
I do too. Despite the incredibly awkward design choice for the torso, I really kind of like this, and I would like to have a modern, Beast Wars Black Arachnia to go with all my other modern Beast Wars figures. So.
Yeah, I can't wait to see these painted. I really can't wait.
I'm excited too.
Yeah.
I'm looking at them now. It's just knowing, having had that Black Arachnia mold from Animated, that was such a bad mold, in my opinion, just because it never stood and it just fell apart.
Can I say one thing?
I was
kind
of fond of it.
Black Arachnia. That's all I need to say is Prime Black Arachnia. This is an upgrade.
Prime Black Arachnia.
You mean Arachnid?
Arachnid. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? The other Black Arachnias that we've gotten in the past are fine. You just weren't around. Sorry. Actually, that's not true. The Beast Machines one's kind of bad. I'm not a huge fan of Transmetal 2. The first one's not that great. Actually, we haven't gotten a good Black Arachnia figure.
And well, I kind of
360.
And just in the interest of... I'm sorry.
Rob, you were speaking.
Okay. Just in the interest of fairness and comedy, I would kind of like to see this Black Arachnia painted as Tarantulas.
Yeah.
Transmetal 2 would have been okay if it wasn't so back heavy and didn't have the pointy heels.
It was just too big.
I will say this, and I've shown this to y'all before. It's in my photo bucket. I would like to see this black Arachnia repainted into Beast Machines RC with a new head, like she was during the 3H time. And also, there's a custom out there that I've seen. I would love to see this. It's like a new version of what we got for BotCon 2001.
That's not a bad idea, Don. I would buy that.
So, but it doesn't come with blown up wheelie either. It does not come with that. So that'll be a third party add-on.
Yeah.
No, it'd be actually, it'd be perfect because you'd have that, and then you'd have all those Nightbirds.
Ooh, so that would make a nice
and,
guy.
Wrong. And Don. There's a Generation Legends wheelie coming up in 2016. So if you wait long enough and that recolor happens, you could totally just
break it.
You could make that happen.
Yeah. There you go.
That'd be cool. Takara, there's your money making idea. You can run with it.
Just borrow some Ninja Turtle weapons to outfit the Nightbirds.
Okay, so moving along to convention news. I know some people love this stuff. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm going to mention it. Loyal Subjects SDCC exclusive Clear Frenzy and Yellow Beak Buzzsaw.
Yeah. They look okay if that is your kind of thing. Little vinyl figurines have never really been my thing either.
Their customer service... Loyal Subjects is great, though, because one of mine broke. They replaced it immediately. But because it was a blind bag, I got a blind bag back, and it was not the one that I had.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I really don't like blind bags, especially when they're going to be like $13 a pop. Almost buying a deluxe, and you can't see what's in it, and then you get duplicates, and I don't have time
to
for
say
that.
Almost, too.
Yeah. That's certainly a thing.
Well, I know there's a lot of fans for that. I'm sure it'll be very popular. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah. So the next thing I thought was actually really interesting.
Yeah, me too. So TFCon 2015, they show off their Transformers shirt, and it's officially licensed.
That is amazing. Nice. I really want to talk to them and find out how they got this done, because that's really – it sounds impressive. And it sounds like they had to put a lot of work into getting this.
Well, now, they were talking about expanding the license to a lot of places at the licensing expo last week, didn't they?
And it could be that this is the shirt that they got licensed for Canada, which does not have an official Transformers convention.
That's
true. They said this is for Charlotte, North Carolina, too.
It could, too, but not originally.
It will also be available at.
Yeah, it makes sense to me that this was something that they got licensed in Canada that they're also going to sell in North Carolina.
Yeah. And it's a really good-looking shirt. Like,
That's nice art. I want to know who did the art.
Yeah.
Because it says TFCon 2015, but there's no modifier as to whether it's U.S. or Canada.
Well, TFCon is the TFCon USA is the secondary one. So.
Okay. Still, those licenses are, tend to be specific. So it's still impressive that they got the right to bring it here, too.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. Great job, TFCon.
And here's something interesting. I'm sure they'll do a Megatron counterpart to that at some point.
That'd probably be for next year.
Sure, if they do it in the same art style, that ought to look pretty awesome.
I think it's really interesting that they did, and it's a nice looking shirt. But I'm not oh my god, it's the thing, got a license shirt.
Well,
look at that.
Hey, Chris, what I'll do is on Friday on TFYLP, if Protoman's on there, I'll ask him if he knows the artist or if he can find out who did the artwork, and if I'm allowed to say, I'll let y'all know if I find out something.
Sure.
Or even if you're even if you're not allowed to say, just tell us anyway.
Yeah.
Who do you love more, us or them?
I love you
also
both.
Also, turn your camera back on.
Again.
Just leave it off, Don.
I'm leaving it off. It keeps cutting off. I don't know why. Apparently, I'm so ugly as the camera doesn't love me anymore.
Don, no, I think the camera just doesn't love your internet.
Man, you're still too hard on yourself, Don.
Yeah. Don, you're awesome. So I just want to it's a nice shirt, and I just don't want to. I see a lot of people who are downing one convention and really rooting for another one. It's like people are taking sides like they're a baseball team or something.
The more conventions we have, the more stuff we can
buy. I'm going to both.
I don't get why. It's just a weird little rant of mine, but I see people a lot. You know, we've had complaints recently about BotCon, but I'm not going to I don't want to be accused of just, saying, oh my God, TFCon's amazing. TFCon is great. BotCon's usually great when I'm there, so just saying.
TFCon was great. Shardacon was great. BotCon's been great.
Each one hits a different collector fulfillment need that the others don't. So you have to take them as a whole to help fill out your collecting life.
Yeah, just one of those things that's been bugging me a lot lately, because even though we've had complaints, I see a lot of people completely downing one. And then, completely celebrating another. And I'm like, they're both conventions run by people. One may have got their thing up 20 weeks early, and we may have ragged on the other for not doing it. It's kind of sad. Okay.
I'm just interested in the truth. I want to talk about the good. I want to talk about the bad. But that's just me.
Agreed. You take the good, you take the both, you take the.
Yeah. So.
And we're back to where we were at the pre-show.
Yes, if it makes you feel any better about that, Don, I was trying to make that work too, but I couldn't remember the words.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take the both, and then you have the facts of life.
And there you have.
There you. I believe it is. I thought it was then.
That's okay.
I think it's there.
Facts of life forever. Woo!
Sorry, just got my soapbox a little bit there. So,
it's okay. Don brought it back down for us.
Yeah. okay, so more Artist Alley updates at BotCon. I put this in there because I know some people really love Artist Alley. We have one of the largest comic conventions in the U.S. Here in Charlotte, and whenever I go, I try to avoid Artist Alley because it's my least favorite thing ever. But I have friends who literally go and spend the entire convention there, so I'm going to mention this.
Yeah. What convention's that?
TourisCon.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'll having quite a bit of and I can never I always mispronounce the gentleman's name. Dan.
Kana.
Dan Kana. Yeah.
You have his art all over your house.
I know. That's what I was saying, but I always mispronounce his last name.
You know Dan, don't you? I don't.
Yeah. Well, I've known Dan just through all the years going to BotCon, but he does such – I have so much artwork of his that's not on display. I've got the Fortress Maximus line art that I got from the 88-mile-an-hour Genesis book. I got all the artwork for that. But all his artwork is just – if I had a room that I could just put framed artwork in – and just you would walk in, it'd be bare except for the walls full of artwork. It would be his artwork on the wall. The man is that good.
Yeah. I think I met him at one of the cons in New Jersey. The he was there doing artwork. Yeah, I liked his stuff. It was neat.
Yeah. If
the problem is, I don't have room for any artwork, so anything I get, I can't do anything with.
Yeah, it's just his artwork. I mean, if you look at one of the greatest examples of his work is the Tigertron artwork from 2001. That's just a brilliant artwork on the box. Sorry, that's just me.
There you go. So, I mean, there's not a lot of Transformers fan artists that get that much acclaim, but there are a lot of great Transformers fan artists out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of one. Who is that one that did that?
Well, there's Walkie.
No, there's the one I'm thinking of. God, I wish Rob Springer was on. He could tell me. A Luke comic book. What was it? Somebody. It was this fanzine that Rob did a whole segment on back in like 2010 or something. Andrew Luke comic book. Never mind.
I don't know.
There's a lot of slash fiction on the internet that you can look at too. Just look for Megatron.
And that'll be on the RFC After Hours podcast starting soon.
No, there are a lot of great Transformers fan artists. I do focus more on the weird ones because that's funny to me. But
there's a lot of great artists, and a lot of them are, you know, have been getting consecutively picked up by IDW to do official work too.
Yes.
Which is why it's hard to think of any that, you know, you would still just call fan artists who haven't made the crossover.
Yeah. One of my favorites, of course, is Jackpot.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
I'd like to see him do an IDW thing at some point, although I think he's very busy with other kind of artwork.
Yeah.
I actually, on my phone, you probably couldn't see when I showed it before, but my lock screen is actually one of his pieces.
Oh, yeah.
I've been using his art as, like, desktop backgrounds for years. I used to always complain to him when he would post new ones that they weren't formatted for landscape mode.
Oh, is that the guy who does the really great, like, toy accurate paintings?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see how what else we got. Artist Alley. We actually didn't talk about Artist Alley. We just mentioned that it was up there. Like, I was about to jump ahead. So I'm actually reading over this because I didn't read. So go to botcon.com. Look at the Artist Alley information if you're curious about that. Okay. So now this is the thing from BotCon that interested me the most. They in advance posted the souvenir pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting one is the souvenir set 3, a 4-pack. I wonder what that's a 4-pack of.
Gee, I wonder. Now, in the article, I speculated on that, but I've learned since that when Pete appeared on another podcast recently, he verified that the 4-pack would all be the same mold. So I don't know what that could possibly be, but my speculation where they would be mixing molds will probably not be the case.
Maybe we should ask Waspinator. He might know.
Yeah, my theory was that one of those four was actually going to be the free add-on figure is now shot, because if those four are staying in a group of four,
there could be a fifth one, Don.
There could.
Yeah. Well, possibly. But I'm just saying that's a lot of Waspinators if that's the case.
I mean, the other thing too is, like, you know, we've got one Diaclone Skid that we think is going to be in one of these sets, and the freebie figure could be another color Diaclone Skids, maybe with the crosscut head if they do one of those color schemes.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, wasn't there a red Diaclone Skids as well?
There is all kinds of colors in Skids.
Yeah,
there's a green one and a red one, and
the green and brown one came later as Revenge of the Fallen tie-ins.
Oh, right.
But they would still be valid, I think.
Yeah.
So now, the red one would probably look really nice with the crosscut head on it. I'm not sure if that would be accurate to the original toy, but I really like that crosscut head mold.
But now, so, the thing of it is, though, is we're still missing one piece for these sets to add up, because mm-hmm. we've sort of got everything planned out as far as what's going in the sets, but there's still one gaping hole that we have nothing to put there.
Right, we've made associations from the leaks we've seen to have a probable idea of what's what. Like, the bigger set is probably the Roadbuster General Optimus and a Scoop Recolor Sergeant Hound. together.
Right. Because that would complete the G2 homage there.
The souvenir one set, you mean the 2-pack for $89?
Right, the first one.
And what would the 2-pack for $79 be? That's got to be more than two deluxes.
Ever that's going to be like my speculation was they were going to use the Diaclone colored Waspinator as the counterpart to that because two deluxes it fits together. But if the 4-pack is all the same mold, that's probably not the case.
And I just said that two deluxes can't be $79, but yeah, totally can. Going back to the pricing on the other stuff, so I retract that statement because I'm clearly wrong.
And for the Diaclone, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
For the record, I was just looking up some images. Diaclone Skids was available in red, both with a red Skids head and a blue crosscut head.
Interesting.
Oh, that would look neat. Yeah. That would look neat.
And what's really good is, overall, with what they were saying, that the pricing only went up about $1 compared to last year.
The way that breaks down, if you discount the Creo set, the pricing actually goes up by like $15, $20. But the Creo set has actually been reduced in complexity, and when you take that in with the other souvenir sets, then the total price goes up by $1 versus the total with Creo figures from last year.
I'm looking at the Creo set, and $29 for a 6-pack, so that's roughly $5 a figure. That's really reasonable, I think. And I'd really like to get a Creo set while I'm there.
Like, they're not micro changers. It's not quite the same as going and getting the blind bag figures. Like, for that would be pretty similar, but, if they're just, you know, normal Creons without the vehicle bits, it's a little bit lesser.
I'm fine with that. I kind of like the little Creons, so, I'll probably, unless it's something I have no interest in, I'll probably try and pick them up if I can.
And, like, if it's like last year, it'll be something that ties into the overall, you know, flow of the set. I don't really want to say theme this year, since this is kind of, like, intentionally all over the place. You know, they're doing a lot of stuff outside the box set, trying to pick up a lot of different things. So it's hard to say what exactly they would do with the Creos.
Well, now, you know, I just thought of this sitting here. Since we had the Creo movie combiners... Maybe it'll be one of the combiner molds as the Creo add-on set. It'll be a small Creon combiner in the comic.
That'd be cool. So, actually, question. I'm trying to think through the complexity of these Creo figures, and I don't know that I've actually combined any of my... I've got them all, but I don't think I've actually combined any of them. Is there any, like, special design to those figures that make them, like, combiners? Could any 5 Creons... combine with the right accessories? I don't know. I'm asking. Does anybody know?
I haven't built any of mine either.
I haven't handled any of the combiners.
I've got them all, but I've literally combined none of them. That's sad.
From everything I've seen, it's just a matter of these Creos are mixed with other block and plate pieces to bring them together.
Yeah, I think so.
Theoretically, any set of 5 could be rebuilt to do this.
Yeah, interesting. That would be cool. Yeah, so I'll probably pick up that Creon set, and I've already been asked by Rob Springer to pick up one, so if I can get 2. It's like, I'm not going to bug Don this year if you can do it. And I'm like, okay. I'm sure Don doesn't mind, but yeah, I'll be glad to do it because I want one too. I love Creon. I love them. I love the little Creons. They're my favorite.
I'm glad I'm not alone. Thank you.
That you love Creons?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
I'm going to be buying a Creon set so I can trade for something to a friend of mine. So
there you go.
I wish there was more diversity in the Creon sets and the components that they use to put them together, from like the accessory standpoint, like the helmets and stuff.
Yeah, that's the part with Creons that has always bothered me. That, you know, that they went into a heavy reuse of a very small pool of accessories a little bit too early in the line for my taste. If they'd gone a couple more waves and done, you know, a few more new helmet molds, I think I would have been a lot happier with where we wound.
It like works with G.I. Joe, but not with Transformers.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Diecast.
I was going to say, I don't think I opened enough of mine to actually have that complaint, because I'm looking at, like, Jet Wash who's in my hand right now, and I'm like, I'm thinking that that's a new head.
Was
but
that its name, Jet Wash?
Yeah, it's Jet Wash, but they just released the Japanese version, not Japanese, the Takara versions of these, and they actually call him Jetfire by name, which I thought was interesting.
Now, here's something I just thought of, and this is totally left field. As popular as Transformers versus G.I. Joe is right now, what if the Creo set is a bunch of Joes? And it somehow worked at the comic.
So you mentioned that. So, like, they could totally, if there's a sub-Diaclone theme in some of the souvenirs, you know, Diaclone Driver Creons.
Ooh, that sounds neat.
I'd buy that. And I just want to, this is real-time feedback, folks. GB Blackrock in the chat, Mark, pointed out that it's just 4 Creons, not 5.
Ah.
I like instant feedback like that.
To make a combiner.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about that.
Although the blind bags almost always had the fifth member of the team, which you could build in after the fact if you wanted to.
Yeah, that Dollar Tree
Wave. The boxes themselves,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that Dollar Tree Wave has the last 2 C-Cons, so you may want to get on that.
I'm going to go looking at those.
I need to do that tomorrow.
Whoops.
Thank you. That's a trip for lunch. I hope. Doing that during lunch. Okay, so...
By any chance you end up with a spare black arachne, I would like that.
Sure. Okay, and that's it for the official news. So, guess what? Showed up on Amazon this week.
Uh-huh.
The thing we talked about earlier.
Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus, which we talked about earlier, damn you. So...
I'm not saying we can't use that for the plug. I'm just saying we already kind of covered this, so leading in that way is sort of...
Yeah, hopefully... Oh, gosh, is he still available? Holy crap, it is.
On and off.
Oh, wow.
Six months
available. Went back up. Yeah.
TFRadio.net/Amazon.
Yeah. Get it right now.
It's awesome.
It's not a perfect toy, but it's fun.
Yeah.
I will have mine in time to console me while everyone else is at the arcade. It'll be great.
Sorry, Rob.
It's
Sorry,
fine.
Rob.
Sweet.
If it makes you feel better, we will miss you.
I know. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, photos and videos and whatever else you guys have from that arcade. That looks like a really neat place.
I'm sure John will be periscoping whatever he's messing with.
Yes.
Excellent.
So if you want Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus, go now, tfradio.net/Amazon, and just search for Ultra Magnus, or you can actually just go to our Twitter and click
it. Hotspot may or may not be in stock, too. I noticed he was when I was getting my Ultra Magnus, but that was a couple days ago, so your mileage may vary.
Yeah, but,
you know, keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, if you want Don's laptop to stay buzz-free, every purchase of Ultra Magnus or potentially Hotspot or whatever from tfradio.net/Amazon will help to fund a new laptop battery that will last more than 20 minutes.
Or for those of us who like need new computers, we might be able to get a new computer for people. That would be awesome.
That'd be cool too, but you know, Don first so that Kilby does not pull the rest of his hair out.
Yes. What little I have left. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, Kilby. You're going bald.
Go to tfradio.net. Well, yeah. Go to tfradio.net. Click on Amazon or go to tfradio.net/Amazon. Sorry, we really appreciate it from the bottom of our heart. You help keep this going. And it's just the stuff you buy anyway. You know, it's not like we're selling it to you. Just a little bit of that goes to us, and it's pretty great.
I've said it before. In the process of this, you're taking money away from Amazon. It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love you. Okay, so jumping to third-party news. Some interesting stuff this week.
Yes.
So the reformatted R13 Spartan... The not impactor toys. Is this the one we've been waiting on for a while?
This is the one I've been waiting on for a while. I pre-ordered this thing right away.
I mean, what is this?
Yeah,
is this
really
the,
nice.
Is this the impactor that showed up before, or is this a different one?
We've had so many impactors that show up,
okay.
And they never.
Okay.
We've had at least
made.
3 different ones.
Oh, okay.
So this was shown before alongside the renders of Commodus IDW Turmoil, which happened at least TFCon USA last year. So this is the same base mold as that, but with impactor parts. And I cannot believe how much better it looks than the design model, than the CAD render.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks so nice.
Now,
I really want one, but I've got so much stuff on pre-order, I can't add another one now, right now.
I'm not crazy about the Metal Slug inspired tank mode, but that robot mode is spot on, and yeah, well, now, I need that.
Well, so, can y'all tell me, are the colors accurate? Because I don't think Impactor was those colors, was he?
Pretty close. Impactor was like a golden orange and purple.
Okay. See, I didn't read much.
This looks a little more yellow than it should.
Okay.
But yeah, that might be the photos, because orange is hard to balance.
Yeah, the colors also, they're, you know, the G1 British comic was hand painted, so it looks a little weird, and it's hard to translate those colors, I think.
Yeah, because I didn't read much of the UK stuff, so I didn't know how accurate that was.
I always got the impression from the UK comics that Impactor's secondary color was supposed to be gold, like Zaron was.
That is kind of what it looks like, yeah.
And like, as we well know from various attempts and various toy lines by various companies, gold plastic without paint is very hard to get to look gold, and you know, not self-destruct.
Yes.
Should I pre-order this?
You should.
I think so.
Why haven't you already?
Okay.
It is a really nice looking figure.
You know, it's what, $85?
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's not bad for one.
That sounds awful. That sounds pretty good.
I think he's about Voyager scale too.
Yeah. 7.5 inches. Yeah.
And of course, I pre-ordered that from the link on
tfradio.net/Amazon?
tformers.com.
And you know, it's a Mastermind figure too, so high quality build.
If I could, I would get this. This looks great.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It does.
So I put this in here because I thought somebody would care, and I found that it really wasn't me, but I put it in here anyway. Iron Factory's IF-EX-011, the Legend Scale, IDW stylized Overlord figure. I thought I wanted this, but the more I think about it, the less that I really kind of want it.
Yeah, I'm not really.
Maybe painted, I'll have more interest in it. But
well, you know, now, I'll be glad that there's at least an Overlord coming out for some people. Because I mean, if he does split into both modes, and he has a city mode, and Iron Foundry
Don. It has all that stuff.
Yeah, yep. So that plus the fact that apparently their quality is so far has been pretty good on these size figures. At least it's an Overlord for some people.
Okay, so it is impressive that we get all three modes. That is pretty amazing.
And judging by the comparison they have with their little Legends, not Windblade, it looks like it's going to be the size of a smallish deluxe altogether in robot mode.
Okay, is this available for pre-order yet? It's not, is it? Okay.
What I'm more interested in, okay, so Rob or Diecast, help me out here, because the third-party stuff kind of washes over me sometimes. There's so much of it bursts, I lose track. Isn't Iron Factory also, don't they have the prototype for a Legend Scale Devastator?
Yes. That's the X9.
Yeah.
Sorry. Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Damn. I was wondering, so like, I thought it was Iron Factory. I was wondering if there this prowl that's in the story along with Overlord was going to have, you know, a secondary transformation to work with that, but probably not.
That would be neat.
Oh, yeah.
That would be neat.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Okay, so...
Well, without that, I'm not interested.
So, in the Late to the Party Club, we have something from Make Toys, which we had a long conversation about last week.
Make Toys.
As I pointed out, I am corrected no matter how I say it, but I am now...
Well, Rob made a good point about the right way to pronounce that the other day.
Yes, Make is the Japanese word for defeat, so I'm pretty sure that they would not want that for the name of their toy company.
Isn't that what Chung Li had to say at the end of Bloodsport? Isn't that what Frank made him say? I always thought it was Mate, but it might have been Make.
Well, Mate is Japanese for stop, so it might be that.
Okay.
Too.
So, sorry. I love Bloodsport. I don't know if anybody else does. It's the greatest movie ever. Also featuring Stan Bush.
Yes.
Yeah, great movie. Not really, but I enjoy it.
You know, for better or worse, I am happy with my Combiner Wars Protectobots, but this Streetwise does at least look more, you know, have a layout of parts more like G1 Streetwise in robot mode, if that's
very
that
much so,
to.
Yeah. If that's what you want, that's what you get.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of interesting things about this. The first is they're saying the robots are going to be the actual individual robots are going to be bigger than what they did with what was the last one they did?
Quantron.
The Quantron. But it's still, when it's in combined mode, it's still going to scale with Quantron and their Green Giant.
Interesting.
So the other thing that's really one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is they're finally going to sell these individually. So you can pick up one figure at a time. It makes it a lot easier to get in on this, you know, the combiner, at least for me.
So
I mean, it's.
Who was it that Gumball Party belonged to?
TFC.
Was that
TFC?
TFC.
Okay, God, Prometheus. There's just too many of these.
Yeah.
Prometheus.
Yeah, TFC, the bad aerial bot people.
So,
but the awesome Hercules people. That's.
But so you couldn't get these figures as individuals before you had to buy the set.
Quantron was a set.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you could not get Quantron.
And Giant, when it was yellow the first time, came in two packs.
Yeah, two packs, and then Green Giant was a whole pack.
So, have we seen the first aid make toys figure yet?
No, just Groove and Streetwise so far.
Okay, yeah. And so this is number MTCM4B.
B.
What's the is that the numbering system for each of the smaller figures, or is
four is Guardia, aka Defensor as a whole. 4A is Groove. 4B is Streetwise.
Okay.
I think he was saying, what does the four stand for? Is this their fourth combiner? And I think of Green Giant, Quantron. Am I missing one?
Well, Yellow Giant. If you want to talk about
Yellow Giant. Yeah, so maybe that's why this is four.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, also, Yellow Giant is coming back out using the fixes they gave to the Green Giant version with extra accessories. So that's also coming back out.
Through the Make Toy store like Dystopia did.
Now we just need an orange one.
I know, right? I was waiting for that forever. Like, I always thought before we knew the Combiner Wars, long before we knew the Combiner Wars one would exist, you know, if TFC does Hercules in orange, that's going to be my deciding factor in this. I'm just going to be stuck with it.
So we now have color test shots of the DX9 D06 Carry, which is the non-Rodimus Prime figure. So I thought I saw in a previous deco of this that it had the chest flame.
Yeah, this is not painted. It's color plastic,
so
but
it's not
painted.
Okay,
yeah. I have to admit, even just in just regular plastic, it looks like a really good Rodimus.
It doesn't look bad.
It's a cool-looking design.
I mean, I'm the opposite. I don't like how this looks right now.
I have Cloud Rodimus, so I don't need it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Cloud Rodimus is the only Rodimus you ever need.
So. Like, the only thing Cloud Rodimus needs to be finished is you have a trailer add-on.
We worked out the last time we talked about this that the spoiler transforms into part of the trailer, and as such, only the facing side was going to be yellow, and that is going to kind of bug me. And you know, it's confirmed here that seeing it molded in red plastic. So, I'm kind of not fond of, but otherwise, it's a decent-looking design.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, I hate it. Okay.
And I'll be honest.
Like
so
the clever thing to do with that. Sorry, Daniel. I'll let you go in a minute. Clever thing to do would have been to make the spoiler so it transforms into part of the flame deco on the trailer, so it could be yellow on both sides.
That would be cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Spot.
Yeah, but it's not.
See, I should design everything because I'm brilliant. Yes, Don.
I need to get some waiters on real quick. I've got all three versions of Protector. I've got the regular version, I got the clear version, and I was lucky enough to get the Nemesis version to go with BotCon Black Rodimus, or Shatterglass Rodimus. And I love Protector for his design look, but this would be one that I'd actually would want to pull down and transform it and have it in Winnebago mode, because Protector, while a great figure, it is an armor kit like City Commander, and sometimes you just don't feel like, you know, de-gatying them and trying to put them back in trailer mode.
So, Don, let me start by saying you're using Black Protector wrong. You need to get the clear Sons of Cybertron Rodimus and put that in there so it looks like it's molten and the limbs are cooling off.
No, no, I know. I do have. I've got the Sons of Cybertron in there.
Oh, okay. You said you got that for the shattered glass Rodimus, so I thought you had
the color. I put a mental comma in there. I've got all three versions, the regular, the clear,
okay,
and the black trailer for Shattered Glass Rodimus. Sorry.
Interesting.
Okay. Okay. Never mind then. You're using your toys correctly. I approve.
Awesome. So last thing, there's other third party items, but this is the one that I cared to talk about. We got another new toy from Make Toys. I almost said Make Toys. Make Toys. They're not Masterpiece style hardhead to go with was Capola, right?
Yeah.
So, and here's actually a photo of them together. Does anybody want this?
No, I want the hardhead.
Well, I'll be honest. After buying Hardbone, you know, we should still be getting a Function X hardhead eventually. But this does scale more with, you know, with the size that Function X is, better than Hardbone does. But I don't like the treads on the legs. Something about that just sort of distracts me from the figure. I don't know why.
You don't like the treads on the legs.
Yeah. The treads are visible on the front of the thing. It's not really. Again, I'm not being a slave to G1. It's just a very distracting design element when you could have the legs turn around and the treads to the back.
It is a little funky.
Yeah, it just makes the legs look less than solid.
I wonder if you have the option of flipping that around.
Yeah.
Well, you probably can. Yeah. You just won't have a working knee anymore, like how Don does his Combiner Wars.
Right.
Yeah.
But that would help a lot is if you could do that. Otherwise, I think I'll just wait for Function X's hard head if I'm still alive by then.
Speaking of the Function X stuff, have we heard anything out of Fans Project lately?
Not a damn thing.
But that's
like anything at all?
That's not unheard of to not hear from them for a while.
Fans Project can go silent like a submarine for 6-8 months, and all of a sudden, boom, you're 2 weeks away from a product release.
Because my suspicion is they've gone silent to prepare whatever they're going to launch at TFCon, and everything else is back.
And let's not forget, these companies have to, in some capacity, operate under the radar.
Yeah.
Because they are violating IP law, at least in the U.S. So, you know, it's not like they have their public entities that are always out and about with their best face forward trying to tell you what's coming out. They kind of have to do all this stuff through the...
Because last year we got Grant. I wonder what we'll get this
from year. Toy World, not Fans Project.
Yeah, but...
So let me tell you, I was vaguely interested in Capola until I saw how much it was going to cost when it came out.
Yeah.
And that put me right off.
How much was it?
$134.
That's way out of price for what. Well, I don't know.
I think largely that comes down to both the Headmaster figure itself and accommodating it in the toy.
Probably.
It's adding more to the engineering they have to do to it, and that's making the cost go up.
Well,
but
at that price scale,
I can't get interested in the series they're doing.
Well, Co did it. A bit on a smaller scale
for about, but
I mean it's not that much smaller.
Smaller enough.
It may be a little only slightly shorter, but it would certainly have a lot less mass.
I seem to recall seeing a picture of Capola next to Masterpiece Ultra Magnus that made it look much bigger than I was expecting.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I want to see this next to a Masterpiece because I'm looking at my Function X and next to like a Masterpiece car, they're the exact same size.
Go look at the Make Toys website. They actually have – it's in one of the T-Formers articles too. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, I'm looking for a picture right now.
But the picture is there. So it is kind of big looking, but at the same time, those Headmasters were big toys to start with, and I think they're trying to keep that spirit going.
Yeah, it comes up to Masterpiece Magnus's chest window, just for the record. I found
which isn't that about the size of MP10?
I think it is.
That's
wow.
Pretty big.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot bigger than you would give. Because by himself, you have no sense of scale, again, right. Scale. But he's just a figure in a void.
Yeah.
I might be interested in this figure. I'm kind of switching
smokes.
My opinion.
Yeah, big.
Now, what did you say?
I saw this photo, but it just didn't click.
Wow. Yeah, I think I might be interested in this figure now.
The other thing that was interesting was the reflector set they're doing, which I'm understanding in the 3-pack is, you know, like 150. That's not too bad, but it's still a little bit past what I would want to spend.
So
it's tempting though.
A thought just occurred to me. Mm-hmm. Between all of my Masterpiece figures and the third-party stuff I have, with these coming out, I could potentially recreate most of my favorite scenes from Headmasters in the dub form.
Well, yeah, because you've got the Scorponok, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow, that's life-changing.
Why would you want to do that with the dub?
Okay, he's kicking Don off right
because
now.
Because the dub is fantastic.
What? The dub is great.
The dub is horrible and needs to be burned.
Let's see here. How do I remove it without...
Okay. The cupola is 23 centimeters, which is converts to about 9 inches.
Okay, yeah.
So that way if you can't... I couldn't find the picture, so I just used a metric conversion.
Okay, so slightly smaller than MP10.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, taller.
It'd be like what, an inch smaller, I think.
Which would be about right as far in my head as far as how tall that Chrome Dome would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, metric conversion website.
Thank you, Google. Google will do that for you.
Don still is trying to figure out how to use Google.
Metric has never been something that sticks with me very well.
I can't figure out Google
can do the conversion for you.
Considering that none of us are going to build a rocket anytime soon, it's okay.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, they're model rockets.
I play Kerbal Space Program sometimes.
Yeah, we're not trying to send people to Mars, though.
I have.
It's 2015. We should have a Martian base by now. Moving sideways.
No. Okay. What would you even do there?
Do Martian stuff.
We do need to
do Martian stuff.
We really do.
Martian stuff.
You know, I was. Okay, I want to say something here. It's unrelated, but it's funny for y'all. It just shows how old I am, I know. I was talking to someone today about the space and the future and stuff like that. It's like, you know, and I used a Jetsons reference, like Coswell Cogs and Spacely Sprockets and stuff like that. And the person looked at me and had no idea what I was talking about.
Well, I don't understand what you're talking about, Don.
Never mind.
I understand what you're talking about. They reran the Jetsons extensively.
Yeah, I know the Jetsons.
Oh, yeah, they did rerun the Jetsons back when I was a kid, back in, like, 2004 and 2005.
Yeah, okay, not only did they rerun it in syndication in the late 80s and early 90s, they produced new episodes for syndication at that time.
They did, yes.
That's the part that always amazed me when I found that out.
Yeah. Okay, so what is on T-Formers, Rob?
Well, first off, we've got XV's review of Windblade number 3, which closes out Combiner Wars proper. The epilogue's coming next week. I'll be reviewing that. And then we've got a couple of feature articles. As we've been talking about, convention season has started. So over at T-Formers, we've started a series of con survival guides to make things easier on everybody. First off, XV's got a handy guide on how to prepare for the possibility of bedbugs. They're a common problem that can happen at any hotel, from the highest to the lowest, and, you know, if you're that's something you're worried about when traveling, we have a guide so you know what to do. Secondly, we've got a more specific guide for where to eat around BotCon. We both worked on that, and it's got options for people that'll be walking and driving.
There's
a lot of options.
They have the pizza place on there.
Yeah, I made sure to grab a bunch of options for deep dish pizza.
Awesome. That's an important article.
You know, when we were working on this last night, we were also talking to Jack at T-Formers. And, like, Rob and Jack were both surprised at how, like, developed that is for what I've been describing all along as a suburb. And to me, it's like, completely natural from having lived around that area. This is just what this area is. It is they're suburbs, but they're just they're their own towns. I mean,
yeah. Around here, when I think of suburbs, I think of non-row houses with not much else around in terms of shopping.
It was just really funny, like the stark difference in experience that presented itself in writing.
Like suburbs around here are fully developed towns for the most part. So I mean, that makes sense to me.
Because Brian, when I was living in Raleigh, it was like that in Raleigh. If you lived in North Raleigh, everything was in North Raleigh. You didn't really have to go across town for anything.
Yeah, like there's so many suburbs of Charlotte that you don't have to travel more than a block or two to like do anything.
Yeah, so you know, St. Charles is not Chicago, but it's also not the middle of nowhere.
It's not Durham.
To look at.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's at least two grocery stores. There's a Target in the area, too. We're not sure if there's a grocery store in it, but there is a Walmart Supercenter and a Jewel Osco in the area. There is a mall that we're not sure about the status of, but there's at least two movie theaters I saw on Google Maps around there. You know, there is stuff around Pheasant Run.
Coolest thing is they have a Hardee's.
Okay.
Yes,
they do. You have to drive a little bit to get there, but it is there.
So I don't know if what my favorite BotCon venue was, if it was 2005 or if it was 2006, because 2005 had that mall that you could just walk across the like basically
the field.
An empty lot to get to. Then nice. BotCon 2006 was in the Rupp Arena or the whatever it's called, and it's basically a mall and everything was convenient. So both of those were great places for BotCon. And was it last? No, 2012, the one that we went to. And I didn't care much for the location in 2010 as far as going anywhere because you had to drive a pretty.
Yeah, 2012 seemed kind of isolated.
Yeah, no, 2010. I was 2010. I didn't like because it's Orlando. That's my only problem. I didn't want to drive
in Orlando. Yeah, because without a car, you're stranded in the park and at the mercy of everything they have there.
It's just I just don't want to drive in Orlando. So.
No, but like 2012, I mean, I remember very well, the only thing in walking distance was that subway and JD almost died on the street.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But the place basically in Dallas, 2005 was awesome because literally just right across the street was a mall. Then 2006, it was in a mall. So
why can't we have that again?
Actually, 2007, the one that we had.
There's so many vacant malls in the country. Surely they could get space in
with
one.
With sharks. Like swimming around in them. 2007, I remember things seemed to be like easily accessible within walking distance. But yeah, 2012 wasn't that great except for that subway.
No.
And it was kind of awkward.
Yeah, it was.
Because if you wanted to go in a group, you couldn't fit a group because it only hold like 15 people.
Is that true? No. I forgot how small that was in there.
Okay, so we talked about going to a Chinese buffet. Do you have one on the guide?
Mm-hmm. I did not specifically find a buffet.
Is that because you want to keep it secret for us?
No, I did not specifically find a buffet. There is a Chinese restaurant that will deliver out to where Pheasant Run is.
Okay.
For people who are interested in that, I did not find anything that specifically looked like a Chinese buffet, though.
Okay, very cool. Okay, that's cool. That's a great article. I'm definitely going to read up on that one. hungry. Okay. So that'll do it for this week. Next week, hopefully, we will be streaming live from St. Charles.
And at some point in the weekend, we'll report on our findings of a Chinese buffet.
Yes, and make sure to follow us on Twitter, because our favorite thing all year, it's my favorite thing, and I make no bones about this. The Hasbro
is Toy
panel.
Fair.
Well, toy. My second favorite thing. My second favorite thing is the Hasbro panel at BotCon.
I will accept this.
Yes. My second favorite thing. So Toy Fair.
I mean, we spend so much time at the start of the year talking about how our favorite thing all year is Toy Fair.
It is Toy Fair.
We got to keep consistent, or we will make our continuity manager mad.
Yeah, this is true.
And
sorry,
and then followed by San Diego Comic Con, where we get the rest of the news that we should know.
We didn't do a live stream for SDCC last year, did we?
We didn't?
No. I think we just did like a wrap up thing.
We need to do something for New York Comic Con this year though. Or maybe
because
not.
The problem is like the Hasbro stuff happens on Thursday now, and that's an awkward time to do an all day live stream.
Yes.
Point. But we do have the Hasbro presentation from New York Comic Con, or we did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was cool.
Well, that was on a show night. So it worked out.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Actually, it'll be the same this year too, because it's all. I think it's always Wednesday night that they do that.
Yeah, because it's not actually, and it's not actually a New York Comic Con event. It's just, you know, Hasbro's little side party they throw instead.
Yeah, pretty cool. So again, at TF Radio on Twitter, and I think we're at TF Podcast on Instagram. I may try to post some stuff there. No promises, because I promised somebody that we would do that at for Toy Fair. Yeah, for Toy Fair, and it didn't work out, and I felt kind of bad. Yeah, we are TF Podcast on Instagram, and if you go there, it's mostly photos from me that I accidentally send from the wrong account.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay. So that'll do it. We'll see you next week. Have a good one, people.
Take care, everybody.
See you guys.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.